I want to mention, Linda, that I grew up in a family that I think would be called, you know, upper lower class or lower middle class at best. And so there's some similarities between your background and my background. I do think that there are a lot of people who are active in these peace and organizing type settings who are middle class or upper middle class. I am college educated, but I'm the only one out of the 12 kids in our family who is college educated. So I'm kind of have a foot in both camps. Do you run into strong prejudice in these activist groups when, you know, you come in because you don't have the college degree to hit them over the head with?
I used to a lot. I think not as much right now. And sadly, that's only because they can look at me differently because they just assume I have a college education if I've published a book. If you read my first book, Bridging the Class Divide, it's full of stories. I don't think of myself as a writer. I think of myself as a storyteller, which many of us can do that come from those backgrounds because that's how we pass down our history. But I met lots of prejudice, and it was because of that that I wrote that book to both talk what happens when you grow up in poverty in this country or as a person of color in this country and you're faced with constant racism and classism that never goes away. I mean, we get that message on TV, on the billboards, everywhere we turn, every day. And so how do we find our power outside of that by working together? It took me a long time, but I began to realize that a lot of these groups, very well-meaning white middle class and upper class folks, would say things like, well, we want poor people as part of our organization, or we want people of color, and we've invited them, but they don't come, or if they come, they never stay, which is a really good sign of what the issues are. So I also wrote the book for them. It was for both groups of people to say, here are the invisible walls that you don't even understand or see that you need to be able to understand and see so that we can all work together. A lot of our work is about healing divisions that have been traditionally there, and not in the ways that a lot of people think about it around anti-racism, anti-classism workshops, which I used to do and talk about in the book. First book, Bridging the Class Divide, but what especially younger people are saying is it's hard to tell a very poor man of color that he has power and privilege, or a white woman that is struggling to feed her children that she has power and privilege because she's white. So we really begin to look at, well, how do we build the relationships and trust so then we can begin to talk about where those kind of issues show up. From a place of love and trust and knowing each other and knowing we're all going to make mistakes. I think our message was you have to do it in a different way that really creates powerful community. The other thing about these kinds of groups we're talking about, social justice groups, is we're often so desperately in a hurry because we're trying to fix everything that's wrong, and there's so many things wrong, that we don't take the time to slow down, connect to spirit, connect to each other, build relationships, build trust, because we're rushing to the next campaign or rushing to the next disaster. It's in the slowing down and doing that work together that allows us to move really fast and build really strategically and not fall apart the first time things come up or not fight over the agenda for 2 hours. Because we've all are connected to ourselves and each other.